All right, Ty, when's the last time you watched Star Wars, like anything?
I remember it very vividly. I watched after a dreadful first five episodes and losing my love for Star Wars. I sat down and watched the finale of Kenobi, and I remember watching it, thinking it sucked, except for 60 seconds when Vader's mask splits and you get half Vader, half Anakin. It's the best 60 seconds of that show. It's the only good 60 seconds of that show, and I haven't touched anything Star Wars since.
All right, so I'm gonna get a little sad here, but when my best friend Al passed away in January of this year, I was looking for something to brighten the spirits. Morgan had never seen all the Star Wars movies, and so we marathoned all 11 of them in about a week. And I'll tell you what, it did lift my spirits until we got to 8. Then I was like, wow, this is how it all ended. But that's the last time I watched any of it. And before then, my last time, I didn't make it through Kenobi. I think my last time watching anything was the Mando season 2 finale before that.
You ended on a great note, I would say.
Yeah, PS2 Luke, man.
Hey, you call it what you want. It was still a great moment, even if the deep fake was pretty rough.
Yeah, that's okay. So, putting aside our kind of malign for the later installments that we've gotten in recent years, why do you love Star Wars, Ty?
I don't love Star Wars, not anymore. And it's so frustrating because I remember a time when 15-year-old me sat down for The Force Awakens because it was the first Star Wars movie I could see on the big screen. And it was a great moment, smiling ear to ear when Lucasfilm jumps on the screen, you get the title crawl. That love is gone. That excitement is gone. The magic of Star Wars is gone. It's become a manufactured, oversaturated product, and it breaks my heart.
Yeah, that's a fair take. I am able to go back to past content that I really loved then, and I still do love Star Wars for that, especially in the context. For those of you who do not know, I tell this story to like everybody. Ty and I's friendship really started by me sliding up, I think, on your Star Wars ranking Snapchat story. And I think we talked about Star Wars for probably 3 months straight after that, and the friendship was born.
I'm very curious if you remember, but I'm guessing the slide up was because I had Last Jedi super high. It had to have been.
You hated Last Jedi at that time. You hadn't
Was
come around on it yet.
this for was that ranking for the Last Jedi rewrite that I did?
I honestly don't even know if Last Jedi was on there. I think it was post Rogue One release, maybe.
Okay, that makes sense. But I do remember dropping a rankings for Star Wars when I did, I think it was my first YouTube video ever. I don't know if you've ever watched this, you'll crack up, but
I
I did a
have.
rewrite of The Last Jedi and I didn't like it then, but love it now.
So we're talking about rewrites here, and we t another large part of Ty and my friendship is rewriting The Rise of Skywalker during COVID times. But before we get into that, I want to just briefly talk about Rise of Skywalker, the initial release, your first reaction going into the theater, coming out of the theater. I mean, talk me through that day if you can remember it.
I remember it seriously like it was yesterday.
Yep.
So, mind you, movies sucked, but do you remember how great those trailers were? Like that D23 trailer with the montage of like the most iconic Star Wars moments ever. Oh, just soul crushing. But I remember I was driving with my cousin to the theater and we were watching the trailer on the way to the theater and said, "You know what? This is the last one. Surely this is what they've been waiting to make. There's no way they mess it up. There's no way it's bad." Sit down, get through it, and I'm walking back to the car, and I look at him. I'm like, "That wasn't good. They messed it up. How? Oh, just sickening. Sickening."
So I vividly remember, first off, watching so many trailer breakdowns, trying to figure out what was happening in this trailer, because it was a great one. I remember listening to the music from that trailer like on repeat. It was so, so good. And then John Boyega left his script in some room, and the janitor picked it up, leaked a bunch of plot details online. And I remember reading those leaks, and I remember reading them and thinking, oh, thank God the leaks aren't real. There's no way it could be this bad. Nah, like, how could Ben climb out of the pit? Like, what the hell is happening here? And as the like late second to third act unfolded and plot point by plot point was happening, I just remember like holding my hands on my head and being like, no, no, no. And I went with my high school girlfriend, senior year, this came out. And I remember I stood up when Ben got thrown into the pit because I was like, oh my God, it's actually going to happen. And so I stood up to leave. I didn't want to see the rest of the movie. And she made me sit back down and forced me to watch the rest. And I came out of that, I mean, probably like four times more depressed than I went in. That was so, so disappointing.
I still remember, you know, the initial teaser trailer for Rise of Skywalker, it was intriguing when you heard the Palpatine laugh. Like, okay, what's going on here? And then the more you think about it, the more messy it gets, the more disgusting it is. I'm like, all right, well, at least maybe they explain it or evolve this in a proper way. But when Palpatine shows up in the first like 6 minutes of this movie and he's just back, you know what? Even before he's revealed, it's in the title crawl. Palpatine is back.
Mm-hmm.
How do you bring back this iconic character that was killed off in an iconic way in Return of the Jedi in the title crawl? It's insane. Oh, just there is so much wrong with this movie, so much wrong that I felt compelled during lockdown to start cooking up a rewrite, and I sent it over to you, sir, to give me feedback.
Yes, and I want to dive right in after really quickly pointing out that the Palpatine return was explained. Do you remember how?
In Fortnite.
Yes, a Fortnite live event. I still don't know how.
Yeah, I was there. I went to the Fortnite live event. They don't explain shit, dude. So really? there was like a TIE fighter, like one of the big spaceships flying over the map. And you heard some kind of speech from Palpatine. It didn't explain how he returned. And the ship flies off.
Wow.
We didn't care, though, because we got lightsabers in the game. And it totally kept us occupied. There was no good explanation. Poe Dameron's explanation of it was the best.
Somehow Palpatine returned?
I can't think of anything better than that.
Wow. Okay. So let's get into the opening crawl of our rewrite here. And this, I reading through this, it was so nostalgic. It made me laugh so much. I love what we came up with, truly. And it's funny to see how far I think I've come as a writer and editor. Especially I saw a copy that had some notes still on it, which was pretty funny. But our opening crawl: there is hope in the galaxy. After the efforts of Luke Skywalker on the mineral planet Krait, the word of the new heroics spread, and the resistance sparked new life. Led by General Organa, the resistance has slowly started chipping away at the First Order, taking advantage of Kylo Ren's strange and sudden disappearance. Under the tutelage of Leia, Rey continues to train in the Jedi arts, preparing to help in the fight against evil. They all continue their battle with the First Order and anticipate overrunning them in a short time. But all may not be what it seems.
I don't care how cheesy it is. I just got like a little... How do you not smile reading that?
Like, it's awesome.
I remember typing it up. It's just magic. You know what's funny, though? This rewrite was 63 pages in script form. So I don't know what that translates to. But all that work we put in, no title change. The title is just Episode 9 Rewrite. We couldn't come up with a fucking title.
Maybe that's how we end this episode, is finding the title for our rewrite.
I'm fine with that. So to give listeners more context, we have it broken down by X, by like key points. And I was going through the notes Steve sent over and they were incomplete. The third act was missing. Yeah, a huge chunk of it. And I told Steve, I'm like, dude, I swear I finished this script. Like I typed the end. I know how it ends. I can't find the script. It wasn't on my personal laptop, Steve. Wasn't on my work laptop. It was on my old college laptop that I used to call the Transformer, like a huge, like 10-pound laptop. I fire it up, trying to remember the password. I get in, and there it is, Star Wars Episode 9 rewrite on my college personal laptop. That's how I pulled it. That's how I got the third act details for us.
Wow, I'm excited. Yeah. Let's dive in. So this rewrite starts with Kylo and his disciples, or Knights of Ren, going to Coruscant. And in the meantime, Luke's Force ghost confronts him while he's like visiting the Jedi Temple.
Yeah, and what Kylo Ren's objective is in this movie is unclear in the first act. Do we want to like break down what he's doing, or are we trying to slow roll this for everyone?
I think slow roll this. I had forgotten entirely what the plot of our rewrite was, and I wrote out this little outline or summary, I guess, of the main events of this movie in order, not knowing what was coming next.
Oh, that is fantastic. So how was the reveal of what Ren's doing?
It's a little contrived, but in the context of Star Wars, I mean, it's a lot better than what they gave us, I think, in my opinion.
What I noticed, and we'll talk about it as we go, I think that we did a really good job of incorporating like a lot of elements from Rise of Skywalker and staying within like the same rules of Rise of Skywalker with some of the dialogue, character choices, the stuff they did with Leia and Carrie Fisher. I think we did a good job staying in the pocket to prove that we could do it better than Abrams.
I think so too, honestly. After this Coruscant scene, we flash over to Rose, Finn, Chewie, Poe, and R2-D2 aboard a First Order ship. They like land on it, they fight off some stormtroopers, and they steal something, but we don't know what it is.
Yeah, and what they steal is exactly what General Hux wants them to steal. And he makes a point that they could catch them dead to right, and he lets them go with the plans, the unknown secretive plans that they've taken.
Which, by the way, Hux, I'm the spy moment is one of the funniest Star Wars reveals, like, ever. That's, like, up there with, I don't know, Dexter Jetser coming out and greeting Obi-Wan and attacking the clones.
I was wondering where that one came from today, that intro. So thanks for that.
Mm-hmm. So then we come back to Rey, the first time we see her in this movie, and Leia is training her, watching her growth. We see that some time has passed, and Rey has really learned how to hone her Force skills. She's also using Leia's lightsaber.
Yeah, so these, again, are things that were in Rise of Skywalker. Say what you want. I thought the training montage Rey got in the trailers and in the movie were pretty cool. It was a good signal that she's growing in the Force. I think incorporating that Leia was a Jedi at one point, mm-hmm. in tune with the Force, giving Rey the lightsaber, I thought that was pretty neat. And we do it right away because Luke's saber got, you know, exploded in The Last Jedi. So no reason for her to have that right now.
Exactly. And no reason for a CGI scene, too, of posthumous Carrie Fisher. I thought that was kind of gross in Rise of Skywalker. I did not like that at all.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how we did it. I don't think we had her in camera for many scenes, if any, mm-hmm. at all. I think they were all just maybe dialogue that we used from old movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was clever. It was clever. I thought we did a good job. But so during that tutelage, Leia and Luke are talking about something. Ghost Luke appears to Leia and they talk off screen because in this moment, Rey is able to connect with Kylo Ren through their dyad that's introduced in The Last Jedi. And during this moment, Rey is able to determine that he is on the planet Mustafar. So not only in our rewrite do we go to Coruscant, we are also going back to Mustafar. Rey's going after Kylo Ren.
And we also find out here that Kylo Ren is after Darth Vader's force energy, like some way to absorb the midichlorians, I guess, that he had. And become more powerful in the dark side.
And the reason I remember going with this process of him obtaining power is I remember the big frustration was, how the fuck are these guys getting stronger in the force with no training? This was a lazy or clever, however you want to put it, way to give Ren more power and make him unstoppable. He's got Vader's force energy. Like, who's stopping him at that point? I thought that was a better way of him just training himself.
I honestly agree. And obviously so does Rey, because Rey's like, I can't let him. She doesn't know what's happening. She just goes to Mustafar because she knows Kylo's in trouble. She wants to stop him. And on her way there, the First Order ambushes Poe, Finn, and the gang as they leave to try and help her out.
Yeah, and how they ambush them, there is no Death Star here, but they have a Death Star-like ship that has the death beam pointed at the planet, just mowing down. They got ships, just guns blazing here. The only way our crew's getting out of here is if someone stays behind to save them.
Leia and that someone is that person. Oh, I was going to say Andre Iguodala. Go ahead.
Leia goes out Kanan style. Kanan from Star Wars Rebels. You know, she's got to hold off the flame with one hand, hold off the ship with another. She has to make a choice. Uses the force to push away the ship. She goes up in flames. Leia dies in this moment in a heroic way. I think is handled a lot better than how it is in Rise of Skywalker.
I agree. And honestly, I'm circling back real quick. The fact that Rian Johnson didn't just edit this film, edit The Last Jedi to make sure that she died when she got blown out of a spacecraft, I think was a very poor decision because of the outside circumstances.
I still cannot stand that take. How can you take away that Luke and Leia scene at the end of The Last Jedi and have Hamill and Fisher have their final goodbye? Like, I know it sucks. It's more on J.J. Abrams and Disney to not have her in Rise of Skywalker. Like, have the first scene be a funeral, but you can't have her go up in a non-heroic fashion in Last Jedi. I know it helps build Kylo Ren's character in that moment, but it really would have done Leia dirty if that's how she went out.
I don't know. Maybe I'll pitch my full trilogy rewrite to you one day.
It's 10-year anniversary.
Yeah, there we go. So Poe, Finn, and the gang decide that they need to head to Cloud City because Leia told Finn to off screen. And they first want to, of course, rescue Rey. So they head to Mustafar with the plans to then go to Cloud City.
Yep. And here we have got a battle between Rey and Kylo Ren. Kylo Ren is basically begging Rey not to fight him. Like, look, I am going to mow you down. Just stay out of my way. And during this back and forth, he brings up their moment in The Last Jedi of like, look, I offered you my hand once. Why didn't you take it? And there's this brief pause. No one talks. She just goes after him. The fight is on. Three moves with the Vader power just blasts her away. She's on the ground near death. Kylo Ren goes to, you know, use the final blow. Something scares him. What is it? Anakin's ghost. We get Hayden Christensen back in our episode 9, and he's there to haunt Kylo Ren in this moment and save Rey.
It's so fucking cool, dude. And it's Anakin's presence in this is not just for fan service or anything. He is warning Kylo that next time there's nothing that is going to stop him from killing Rey. He knows that Kylo cares for Rey. He knows that he doesn't want to kill her. He knows that he's not entirely on the dark side, but he says, if you keep going down this path, if you keep on taking this old Sith energy, then next time you're going to kill her and there's nothing you can do to stop it.
And in this moment, Rey is dazed. I mean, she just got rocked and she's looking up, blurred vision. Pause, dude, relax. And she's got the blurred vision. She can barely make out this force ghost. And we kind of get that Empire Strikes Back thing where Han runs through Ben's Force Ghost. Finn runs through Anakin's Force Ghost, rescues Rey. They get her back on the ship, and they head to Cloud City. End of Act 1.
I mean, that's a pretty good Act 1. I'm not going to lie. Obviously, I mean, going back, 63 pages, Ty, for reference, is 63 minutes of screen time. So Act 1 is short, but I think if we go back, we could absolutely expand this. Maybe we right the wrong. Maybe that's the final goal of Blast, is to raise, what was the budget of Rise of Skywalker, like $350 million, and just remake something this movie?
Ridiculous. Yeah, let's use all the money we get from Blast, trash the app, do our rewrite, and release it in Blast theaters as our first movie.
There you go. So we start off Act 2 with the gang getting to Cloud City. Lando has renovated and amassed a small army in the meantime. He has really made out well from this deal he made with the Empire in Episode 5.
Yeah, and we had really no options here, because at the end of The Last Jedi, it's very clear the Resistance is on their last leg. No one's coming to save them. How are they going to build an army big enough to take on the First Order? This is our first rumblings of that. Lando has built these smaller factions around Cloud City and amassed, to your point, a small but considerable army.
So cool. And when they get to Cloud City, of course, Rey just runs off, because that is kind of a theme in the sequel. She kind of just goes wherever she wants and doesn't tell anybody. But
in this moment,
Finn catches her. Yes, Finn catches her. Nobody else realizes she's leaving. Finn goes over. And Rey tells Finn to keep Luke's lightsaber from Return of the Jedi, of course. Not the one that was split apart.
No. And says, I think that's where... I think that is maybe Luke's saber. Because, well, Rey uses the green saber later. Does she not? Or is it the blue one?
It's an entirely different saber. Well, we'll get there. You're forgetting part of this. But, all right,
but you're forgetting something about Finn, unless you're bringing it up.
No, it's... I get there later. Don't worry.
It's not getting... I mean, all right, fine. I see where you're going. I trust your vision. I trust your vision.
So go on.
Go. Do you want me to talk about Finn, or are we just moving to the next point here?
No, you can move to the next point.
All right, okay. So, Rey leaves. Finn now is in possession of a lightsaber, and there was an exchange of dialogue. Rey doesn't need the saber. She gives it to Finn for protection. We'll get there later. So now, General Hux and the Knights of Ren turn against Kylo. Why does this happen? So, after Mustafar, Kylo Ren mows down Rey, sees Anakin, freaks out. He gets back to his ship and says, "Take me straight to Hux. We've been betrayed." Goes and sees Hux and confronts him in front of the Knights of Ren. And General Hux admittedly says, like, "Yeah, I screwed you over because you killed Snoke." This is a perfect reason and a perfect tie into Last Jedi. "I know you killed Snoke, and these Knights of Ren, they don't work for you. They work for me." And now it is a Knights versus Ren, or Knights of Ren versus Kylo Ren, like, battle. And he just mops these guys up. Smokes the Knights of Ren. We get rid of them. And he's got Hux. Takes him out. But this truly showcases Kylo Ren's power. He didn't really get to show it against Rey. But he just took out the Knights of Ren quickly in front of the First Order.
And I honestly think that's the best use of Knights of Ren that we would have gotten in any of the movies. They are so wasted through 7, 8, and 9. It really is a shame. But after that, Kylo commands the rest of the First Order, who is now just terrified of him, and he is clearly back in power. We're heading to Endor for, we don't know why for sure yet, but I'm sure you could figure it out.
Star Wars greatest hits, man. We've hit Coruscant, Mustafar, Cloud City, and now Endor. This is pretty good. We're tying everything all together. But the gang decides to try and steal the First Order's new ship with the Death Star tech. I also want to call out the little, like, bit, the little banter in this movie. There is the Millennium Falcon, but there's also Poe's ship that is called the Maltese. And there is this this bit where they just make fun of the name, the ship name, the whole movie, and he gets dunked on for the Maltese.
I don't know how much you read about the read of the actual script too upon remission, but dude, I swear to God, like, we must have never talked to a woman in our lives. It's so the romance dialogue in this movie is horrible. So hilariously bad.
Horrible. Oh, it's tough. It's so tough.
So after the gang decides what they're going to try to do, Rey is at Octu, and we see she is going into exile as Luke did way back when. And Luke's Force Ghost tells her why he was wrong to do what he did.
And I love this moment because I think this was a frustration of the Last Jedi. As a Last Jedi defender, it broke my heart to see Luke go into exile and give up on the Force and give up on the Jedi ways. But he does have his redemption in Last Jedi, and it makes perfect sense for him here to say, no, I was wrong. Do not make the same mistakes as I did, which does happen in Rise of Skywalker, but I think it's executed earlier and better here.
I completely agree.
And after he gives her his little pep talk, it's time to do what all Jedi should do. Construct your own weapon. And before doing this, Rey needs to tap into the Force and understand the Jedi ways. And she sits down. And do you remember that moment in Rise of Skywalker as she's laying down on the ground in Palpatine's throne, and she listens to all the voices of the Jedi? We get that moment in Act 2. She's listening to everyone. Ahsoka, Anakin, Qui-Gon, Ben Kenobi. You got the Star Wars greatest hits. I'm pretty sure Mace Windu pops up in there. Mm-hmm. And now she's got the Force flowing through her, the Jedi ways flowing through her, and she constructs her new weapon. What is that weapon, Steve?
It is a lightsaber made from her staff, which we actually see instead of just a brief little glimpse. Rey's, like, yellow, orange lightsaber, whatever you want to call it, at the end of Rise of Skywalker, is given the same treatment as Peter Parker's new Spidey suit that he makes himself at the end of No Way Home. It's so bad. I would have loved to have this scene, and I'm excited that this was in our rewrite. I think we were onto something there. Yep. So, after that, the Death Star ship arrives at Cloud City. The Resistance is ready to fight. They had, like, lured it over there somehow. Kylo was just like, yeah, whatever, I'll delegate that. And he pushes somebody to send that ship over to deal with the rest of the Resistance on Cloud City.
And during this big bout, the ships there, our gang, as in Poe, Finn, Rose, that crew, breaks onto the ship somehow. And during this feat to try and stop the ship, they get caught and are held at basically gunpoint. They're going to get executed. Similar to that scene in Last Jedi where, what's her name? Phasma?
Yeah, Captain Phasma.
Yeah, she's got them ready for execution. And Finn's going to be the first one to die because he's the traitor of the First Order. They all know him. They go to mow him down. Rose, heroically, stands up, hits someone like Daryl Dixon style, and gets put back down. The general for the First Order picks up the lightsaber that was in Finn's possession, kills Rose with it, and in a moment of rage, Finn freaks out, screams, and his energy force shoves everyone around, and they get a chance to escape. Poe grabs a weapon, Finn grabs a weapon, they start making their escape. Finn has the Force. It is official in this moment.
This is also when we find out that Leia telling Finn to go to Cloud City was through the Force. Nobody else heard that. And the reason that he was able to see Rey leaving, he finds out he had a sense. He was Force sensing that Rey was going to leave. It's a very cool tie together of past events from the movie that I don't think were, like, explained really at all, and I think that's so cool. Meanwhile, Lando and Chewie make a valiant sacrifice and fly into the Death Star's ship, like up the cannon, essentially, and they take it down. It's the only way to save Cloud City.
And the Falcon goes down, the last of the old crew die in our eyes. And mm-hmm. D Do you think people get out of their seats in our act two? Because no one's left but the droids.
Well, honestly, one of the droids, C-3PO, again, I don't know how much you read of the script. We just shit on him over and over and over again. No, he's not allowed on post ship. He, like, everybody is always saying, like, fuck you, 3PO, just stay behind. Just, we don't want you here. He gets so sidelined and pushed around, you could tell we were so fed up by the shit he pulls in Rise of Skywalker. It's so funny.
All right, so Act 2 is wrapped up. I do want to point out, Rey does come to the rescue of our gang, Finn, Poe, and company. Rey saves them on that ship. They escape. They go to Barry Rose on some off planet, and Finn is talking like Avengers Endgame style, like, we need to make it worth it, we need to earn this, earn her sacrifice. And they're going after Ren. He's on Endor. They have no idea why, but Rey does. She knows that she was collecting Vader's force energy. He's now going after Darth Sidious's force energy that was left on the Death Star after the explosion. They need to go to the wreckage.
It's so cool. It's so much better than the stupid fucking knife. That is one of the worst moments, I think, in cinematic history, actually. One of the worst, what are they?
MacGuffins.
MacGuffins. It's an Ex Machina. It's everything. It sucks. And honestly, Ty, I could not find Act 3 to this. I kind of want you to just talk me through it.
Yep. Leave it to the archives. I've got them. All right, so... I cannot wait to, there was some serious cheese in this. But Act 3. So they're now on Endor. They're going through the Death Star wreckage to try and stop Kylo Ren from consuming Sidious's force energy, because he's going to be too powerful at that point. They will not be able to stop him. Rey and new force owner Finn are on the search for him in the wreckage. They finally find him. But Rey and Finn get split up, and Rey is now facing off against Kylo Ren, except he's already consumed Darth Sidious's force energy. He's got the Sith eyes. He's got, like, red veins on his face. He's being corrupted by the dark side. And there is no more Ben Solo. And she's not ready to accept that. And they're having this conversation one more time. Kylo Ren force pulls the roof off of this place. Off of the wreckage, again, signaling how powerful he is. And he's pointing up to the sky, like, look, your friends are flying around. I can, with the snap of my fingers, order their death, or you can join me, and we can build an empire together. I'm offering you my hand one last time. Please do not turn me down. And it's basically the same beat from Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker. I came here for Ben, not Kylo Ren. He ignites his lightsaber in anger. They go at it. She ignites the staff. It's go time. Then the fight in the sky starts, and it's the Maltese basically just dodging the First Order for a while. We have no idea what's going on, how they're going to stop it. But Lando and Chewie return to the fight. How did they survive? It's not really explained how they escaped that explosion. But Lando,
it's just
Chewie.
Like the original. They were on a different ship.
That's right. But no, the Falcon is there, and they've brought their entire factions, their entire militia, to take on the First Order. Dark Knight Rises style, all the cops versus all the prisoners. Like, let's go kill them! You know, First Order versus Resistance. Wow, we've got this big battle on the ground. And Staff User Rey is just holding her own, trying the best as all the Jedis are flowing through her as Darth Sidious, Kylo Ren is coming after her. But while she's, you know, dodging things, and picture this on the In Rise of Skywalker, that basically like bridge or like walkway they're fighting on in the actual movie. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Where the waves are crashing in. That's what they're fighting on right now. Rey backed basically into a corner, is going to die. Finn ignites Luke's green lightsaber, and now it's a 2v1. He's back in the fight. They're trying to kill Kylo Ren, but they get split up. Kylo Ren gets the bests Rey, force shoves her away, and now it's a one-on-one with Finn. And he takes quick work of Finn, slashes his arm off, and he's about to draw the finishing blow. Rey gets back into the fight. It's a one-on-one. At this point, Ren is just pissed. He can't beat her. Rey slashes his leg in this fight, freaks out, force lightning, shoves her into like metal debris behind her, Logan style. Rey has like metal sticking through her stomach, vision blurred, like is near death. Kylo Ren approaches her to finally kill her. She pulls the Ahsoka move, the force pull, ignites the lightsaber as it's coming towards her through Kylo Ren's stomach. He basically falls to the floor. The fight is over at this point. Do you just want me to keep going?
I'll interject real quick. I think that I can tell that this is not a draft that I ever saw before. I did not know that we had finished this, or that you had finished this, I guess. But I would be interested to go back and fine tune some stuff here.
Mr. Bully.
Yeah, just really the only thing is Lando and Chewie.
Yep.
Come back.
Dude, when I read back through this stuff, like the dialogue, the battle in the sky, like what was happening here? And I feel like this happens in every Star Wars movie. Like, no one cares about the fight in the sky. Like, I just want to see the lightsaber fight. So there is, like, nothing going on there. But go ahead.
That's just one of my least favorite things in general about Star Wars is, like, if you look up Anakin versus Obi-Wan on Mustafar and you click on the YouTube video, right, it constantly is, like, cutting back and forth because, like, you have these really awkward transitions. Because you had Yoda and Palpatine fighting at the same time. There is no reason whatsoever that those two scenes cannot just play one after another. It's so upsetting.
Yeah, they clearly just could not fit it in runtime-wise. Mm-hmm. I don't know what was up with that. But we're joking about this right now. In the middle of this fight, one of the bullet points I put in here, the Resistance somehow bests the First Order. Like, it's just so lazy. So lazy, but the fight in the sky, the Resistance somehow wins. Yay. So Kylo Ren is dying. Rey is like near dead, basically dead. While he's near death, Han and Leia speak to their son. They both come back. I don't know how it happens. Basically bring out the last moment of Ben Solo. He force heals Rey and dies. Rey gets off the ship, and that's how Act 3 ends. It's not how the movie ends, though. There is an epilogue.
Oh,
Rey is teaching a new generation of Jedi, and this group is full of young Jedi. There's Finn with his new robot arm. You've got Broom Boy from The Last Jedi tying that last scene in, making it matter. She sees a force ghost figure in the background. You have no idea who it is. She smiles and says, "Lesson one," roll credits.
Interesting.
So, in that final battle with Rey and Finn and Kylo Ren, do we kill all three of them if we're rewriting this now?
I think we do, honestly. I think that the way that episode 9 should end is that the Jedi and the Sith die. I think that it should just be net neutrality in the Force. And honestly, I think the whole fight in the sky should just go away.
Well, I mean, I love that. But I feel like every Star Wars movie has the fight in the sky.
But why do we need it?
We don't.
All right. I would be so interested. I kind of want to go back and revisit this and really put some more effort into this last act, because I think the first two actually are really good. I think that there are a lot of good setups. And you can tell Act 3, I mean, COVID was starting to end. We were probably getting to hang out with our friends a little bit more. And we just got a little lazy here in the writing department. Not as lazy as somehow Palpatine returned, but pretty lazy.
What was I going to ask? I think the one thing that I would have changed now that I was dead set on happening was Kylo Ren having like an ounce of redemption. Because I did love that part in Rise of Skywalker, and I keep hinting towards it in this final third act where he has that moment with Leia and Han. I think that goes away. Like, I think Rey just kills Kylo Ren. Ben Solo died after The Last Jedi, or after he consumed that last piece of Force energy.
I think that's a very, very cool idea. And honestly, it just is such a shame that, like, I feel like these conversations didn't even happen when they were making Rise of Skywalker. I think that J.J. Abrams just sat down in a room and pumped this out in, like, 2 hours.
You know what's funny is his co-writer did Batman vs. Superman and Zack Snyder's Justice League. What happened? Like, how do you go from basically two heat checks for the DCEU, whether they were regarded as great projects or not, to Rise of Skywalker, which is basically known as a bottom two Star Wars movie, if not the worst Star Wars movie?
I wonder if there's like a 4 hour, is there a 4 hour Abrams cut without studio interference of the Rise of Skywalker? Is this the repeat of ZSJL?
You know, there may not be an Abrams cut, but there certainly is a John Williams cut. Apparently he came out, old man Williams, he doesn't have anything to lose. Fucking NDA. He said that he recorded or made a bunch of new music that was very different from the originals. It was kind of like that prequel era where he was trying to cook up new music and get creative and inventive, and they scrapped all of it. And just that's why everything seems rehashed and out of place and all of his old music. So who knows? I mean, those trailers had good music, but you don't hear any of it in the new movie.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I had no idea about that. I remember being pissed when the Rise of Skywalker score got nominated for the Oscar for best score, because I was like, I mean, this is the same thing we've heard 8 times. It was a real shame. I was very disappointed by Williams there.
Messy. So, movie's over. Our rewrite's over. I think maybe in December we actually just sit down in a room and try and rewrite the third act.
I'd love it. I would love to do that.
and make a title.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, that's a plan. Let's do it. And we'll maybe we talk about that during the Blast Awards or something come December 31st.
Yep, cool.
Okay, now it's time for a discussion on the rest of Star Wars, besides our funky little ideas of how this saga could have ended. Do you think the sequels ruined Star Wars forever? And matter of fact, what did ruin Star Wars? Like, whether it's forever or for not, is it the sequels? Is it just too much content because of Disney's buyout? Is it like just the fans being split after Last Jedi? I mean, or is it just a combination? I don't know. What do you think?
You know, I used to be kind of bitter towards Star Wars fans and blame them for everything. Like, if they didn't moan and complain about The Last Jedi and basically force Disney into a corner and try and appeal to everyone for Rise of Skywalker, none of this would have ever happened. I've changed my tune on that. It should have. It is on the studio. And yes, the answer is the sequels. One, you undid the greatest ending to a science fiction project ever with Return of the Jedi, with this trilogy, bringing everyone back, killing it off, just did it the wrong way, didn't have a plan, and the pivots that they made were basically a disaster class. You go from The Force Awakens, that sets up a bunch of stuff, pivot to The Last Jedi, which basically shakes up everything that happens in TFA, which, whether you like that or not, it was controversial, and then instead of sticking to that, you pivot away from The Last Jedi and create about as much division as you could. It used to be the fans. I think it's just Kennedy and the band of misfits that built the sequels.
I'm going to make a pretty bold claim here. I don't think that Star Wars fandom is especially toxic. I think they are on par with all of movie fandom right now.
I think all big IP.
I would think so. We're talking Marvel, obviously. I think DC is up there. Like, if Rose Tico is getting death threats for her role, and the guy who played Captain America, or like the fake Captain America and Falcon and the Winter Soldier, was also getting death threats, I think that's definitely on par. I think that even horror fans, like with the Scream franchise, are pretty split right now. If you think about that, I think Halloween fans are pretty much there as well. I think that if you find just, like you said, if you find just about any franchise, you're going to find everybody complaining, everybody having differing opinions. And I think that's more of a symptom of just the age of the internet than actually the movies being good / bad or anywhere in between.
Yeah, it's about managing or looking past all of that, because you can't appeal to everyone. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Disney was the first to try and do so. It was all about appealing to as large of an audience as possible. And in doing so, or in an attempt to do so, ended up appealing to almost no one with Rise of Skywalker. So I hope that, like the DC, and not to pivot away from Star Wars, but James Gunn is getting a ton of flack because the Snyderverse that could have been built up has been stripped away and eliminated. And you've got all this noise in the background about the Snyderverse and what it could have been. And I trust and hope that Gunn will stay the course and do his thing. I wish that Star Wars and Kathleen Kennedy had done the same thing. There was a ton of noise in the background, and instead of putting their head down and making the projects they wanted to, they tried to appeal to too many people, and that's where they went wrong.
And it's interesting because when you have a franchise as big as Star Wars, you know that you are going to get enough people in the seats. And so, like, no matter who you appeal to, and even if some people don't like it, they're still going to come back for the next one. Like, I hated Last Jedi. I still came back for the next one, you know? And so it's just such an interesting, like, just bland way to go about making art, I guess. And maybe it's just the corporation stripping Star Wars of what it once was, which is a story about a group of friends.
Yeah, and it's just been, it's stretched so thin. If you look at all of the Disney Plus shows, it's just crazy how, and I know that there's some sweet spots for fans, like people seem to really like Andor. The reviews on Acolyte are honestly pretty mixed. I thought they would be a lot worse. Obviously, you've got good projects like Filoni's last four of Clone Wars, but it's just kind of a big mess right now. There's nothing special about it. So, like, you go from the sequels that really put everyone on edge, and then you drop, like, six farts with Disney Plus shows, and it all kind of just slowly dies out.
Yeah. Which, obviously, I mean, I don't know if anybody can make the right decision. I think that Star Wars, I think you're right that it is the sequels that ruined Star Wars, because after those sequels, there is really no direction that you can go, because the fandom is so split. Everybody comes together and hates Rise of Skywalker, besides Lem, of course. And there's just nothing, like, you don't know where to go from there. You don't have that fandom that you appealed to keep exploring down that road, you know? So,
yeah. And you have a project like Mandalorian, which was regarded and beloved by basically everyone. But the problem with Mandalorian is that it takes place, like, during our timeline, or the Skywalker timeline. So there is a cap to that. They can't explore that Mandalorian world too much because it jumps into our main Skywalker saga timeline and it gets messy. Like, why isn't Grogu staying with Luke? Where is their involvement later on in the series? Like, the only good project they had has to stay in its own pocket. They've backed themselves into a corner.
Right. It's like Rogue One. You go in knowing everybody has to die. And of course, Rogue One, I think, did that phenomenally, but when you have to draw that out for multiple seasons, it's a lot harder. I want to get a little more positive, though. Let's talk about the best moment in all of Star Wars. I want to hear your take.
I have been in this camp for basically 5 years at this point, if not longer. I think that the best moment in Star Wars is the final battle between Luke and Vader, when Luke rages on Vader, bests him. You have that great John Williams score in the background. He slices Vader's arm off, and before he kills Vader, he realizes what he's become, and he looks at his hand, looks at what his dad's hand was, and doesn't want to turn to the dark side and become corrupted, throws his saber away, says, "No, I'll never turn to the dark side. I am a Jedi, like my father before me." It is still the best moment in Star Wars all these years later.
I have to disagree. I actually have a three-way tie for my top moment in Star Wars history, but I think there's one that jumps a little bit ahead. The first one, I think one of my favorite moments in movies ever is Anakin waiting in the council room while Palpatine is just mowing down Mace Windu and the gang. Watching the flash between him and Padme, like, you can tell George Lucas is just such a phenomenal visual storyteller, even though the dialogue can be bad at times. And I think that just encapsulates the character of Anakin Skywalker for me, of the tormented soul. Kanan's sacrifice, you brought up earlier, is one that I was not expecting, and one of the few moments in Star Wars that actually made me cry. And the top one ever is the only one that made me cry and cry and cry, and that is Burying the Dead, May 4th of 2020 at 3 a.m. That is, I think, the best finale to a show I've ever seen and the best Star Wars moment in history.
Is the final four episodes of Clone Wars the best Star Wars content we've ever gotten?
It's close. I think yes, though.
All right. We'll get to those moments. I want to keep talking. You know what? It's nice to smile. Like, I'll just keep rattling off great moments. Like Obi-Wan besting Maul in Star Wars Rebels, or killing Darth Maul finally.
Mm-hmm.
And Obi-Wan reveals that he's protecting the Chosen One. It's a great moment. Ahsoka facing off against Vader, and dude, Anakin calls out to her. I'm like getting goosebumps as we talk about it.
They're so good. There are so many awesome moments in Star Wars, and I gotta say, a lot of those moments we just named are from animated shows. Do you think animation just works better for Star Wars?
Yeah, it does. I think that all of my favorite moments in Star Wars are animated, or at least most of them. But I think as a whole, what animated always does better than live action is the combat. It translates so much better. The fight scenes are so much smoother. They can do so much more with the Jedi and really showcase their powers a lot better. You look back at some moments with Darth Sidious and Revenge of the Sith, and it just doesn't look right.
Yeah.
Whereas in Clone Wars, you see how this guy is the most feared Sith, basically, of all time, or at least in the show. I think it all comes down to the combat.
I agree. Best character in Star Wars. I don't think I actually know your take for this one.
You can take your pick between the two, but they both come from Clone Wars. It's either Ahsoka or Darth Maul.
Okay. I am personally going Ahsoka as well. I think she is masterfully written, especially in that last season. What's your favorite deep cut Star Wars character, though? Like, everybody might not know off rip.
No, I've got mine. It's Babu Freak from Rise of Skywalker. The droid is ready.
Is his cameo in the fight in the sky like your top moment of all time then?
Yeah, dude, we gotta write him in.
Shit, you're right. You're right.
Yep. We'll put that on the list. What about you?
Mine is Darth Nihilus, which I think I have talked to you about a number of times. He's from the Knights of the Old Republic games. But he is able to drain the force energy from anybody, even full planets, and absorb it. That's kind of, I think, me ranting to you just over and over about how cool he was, got you on the force energy absorption train for the remake.
Probably.
I think he is infinitely cool, though. I would have loved to see I still would love to see a movie version of him at some point. What's your best track in Star Wars of all time?
The immolation scene. It's from Revenge of the Sith when Anakin is basically igniting on fire and Obi-Wan's giving the speech, the tearjerker. You are the chosen one! It's great, great moment, great track. I still listen to it this day. Like I go through like my old replay playlists. I think in 2020 it was my third most played. It pops up in my top 100 every year. It's a beautiful song.
The one that pops up in my top 100 every year is, of course, Burying the Dead. I think that is such a wonderful song, but I did have to include a John Williams selection on here too. I think Force Theme, Binary Sunset, when that plays for the first time, is so beautiful. It's I just can't even describe the way that makes me feel when Luke is looking out at the suns.
We spent like 30 minutes shitting on the sequels. What's your favorite sequel moment?
You go first if you have one ready.
The first one that always comes to mind is when Rey pulls the lightsaber out of the snow and it flies past Kylo Ren and you get that track from A New Hope replaying. I love that moment.
It's close for me. That might be it, honestly.
I have another one for you while you're still thinking. I say what you want about the movie. I like The Last Jedi. I love the moment towards the end of the movie. Kylo Ren gets bested by Luke or tricked by Luke, and he's going through that, like, the base and crate, and he picks up the dice. He's holding them in his hand, and the dice disappear, and he clenches his fist, and he realizes, like, his dad is gone. Like, another piece of Ben Solo is gone.
Very cool. I think I have my choice now, and unfortunately, I think it's Han's death, actually. I remember being in the theater for that moment and just like having my mind blown, because I would have never thought that Disney would take a risk like that, especially in the first of a trilogy. And for that to happen, I gasped and I couldn't believe my eyes.
I still don't understand the hate for this moment. I don't get it. I think killing Han does work. And I feel like it gets a bunch of backlash. Like, oh, we never got a moment with Luke, Leia, and Han. But to your point, it was so bold and risky. And you wouldn't have expected it. I've always appreciated it. And every time I go back and watch Force Awakens, like, that moment still works for me.
Yeah. It's such a shame. Maybe the backlash is why we never got another risk or another even consequence in the rest of Star Wars.
Bingo. Bingo.
Oh my God. Every action consequence-free in the sequels. What is, I want to get back to positive here. I want your top five Star Wars shows/movies, just content in general.
Okay. Number one, I mentioned it. Final four episodes of Clone Wars. I still think it's perfect. I still remember watching them. I can picture myself in my lofted bed in high school watching those at like 2 a.m. Just beautiful stuff. Number two, Revenge of the Sith. My favorite Star Wars live action movie is a prequel movie. At my three spot is an original trilogy movie. It's not Empire. Return of the Jedi is my favorite of the originals. At my four spot, sorry, Steve. You know it's going to be on the list. The Last Jedi. I don't care what anyone says. I love this movie and I love what it does with Luke. And I think it has some interesting ideas about the Force, the Jedi, and the Sith. And then at my five spot, again, say what you want. I don't know how you feel about this one, but Mandalorian Season 2. In particular, those last two episodes. And I mention last two because I think the Bill Burr episode is the best episode of that show. And maybe some of the best Star Wars we've gotten since Disney bought out Lucasfilm.
I think that's a great list. I think that we only have two crossovers, though. So it's pretty interesting. And
Rebels
those are
got to be on your list. Got to be.
Our top two. My number one is Clone Wars, just the entire show. I can't pick. I think that the Mortis arc, I don't know if you remember that one, is one of the most phenomenal animated like shows ever. I think those four episodes are phenomenal. My number two is Revenge of the Sith, and you know that that has been my favorite movie always. Number three, of course, is Rebels. And number four, Rogue One. I still vividly remember seeing Darth Vader appear on the big screen for the first time, and it gave me chills. It's one that I will never forget. Number five is my hot take here, though. My fifth favorite Star Wars content ever is Star Wars Resistance. I think that show gets so much hate. It is so good.
Give me a break. Has anyone even seen Star Wars Resistance?
I think that's why it's not as respected. It is very well animated. I love the animation style in it. And it has some compelling story arcs that actually do add quite a bit to not just the world of the sequels, but also the story behind the scenes. I think it's really good.
Is that a Disney XD?
I believe so.
Okay. At least it's not better than Rebels. But I do like the three were animated for you. It's pretty, mm-hmm. pretty cool. I thought you were going to go game.
Cool. Battlefront 2.
It's got to be. It's got to be on the list. It's got to be.
Now you're making me rethink everything. All right, Resistance, honorable mention. Throw in Battlefront 2 at the number one. I want to end this episode off with a couple of drafts and then one big question. One big question that I hope you've been thinking about this entire episode. The two drafts I want to do, though, are a hero's draft and a villain's draft. Of course, traditional sense. I think Anakin applies as a villain only. I don't want anyone taking the light side version of him. That's cool.
All right, man. Fine.
Do you want first pick in heroes or villains?
I want it in villains.
Okay. My first pick in heroes is going to be Luke Skywalker. I think it has to be.
It's the right pick. And we got five to go with?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to write these down. But my first pick is going to be Obi-Wan Kenobi, the GOAT that bested the greatest Jedi of all time or the greatest Sith of all time.
Nice.
I'm going to go Obi-Wan. And then at my number two, you know what? I'm going to be able to steal this Jedi later. I'm going to take Ahsoka Tano now because she's my favorite hero.
Okay. I like that a lot. My next pick, I'm going to go with Kanan. I think he is maybe my favorite Jedi ever. I think he's absolutely amazing. Of course, Ahsoka doesn't apply as a Jedi, right? And my second one, I'm going with my second favorite character from the Clone Wars show. I'm going Captain Rex.
Oh, that's a great one. It's a great pick.
Thank you.
That's a great pick. I don't want to spoil it. Never mind. I'm going to save it. I'm going to save it. I know where to plug this person. At my three spot, the more I watch the prequels, the more I respect and really like this character. I wish that we got more of him, but Qui-Gon Jinn at my three spot. I really love Qui-Gon Jinn and what he could have done for Anakin. It's really well done. Shout out Liam Neeson. I get to turn here, don't I?
Yes, you do.
All right. I think you're excited because I didn't take who you want. So maybe I can steal.
I'm excited because I think Qui-Gon's actually a great pick. I didn't have him on my list, and yeah. I think that's a good shout out.
I'm just gonna get out of the way. I thought I could go the whole draft, but just in case, Han Solo. He's gotta be here.
You could have gone the whole draft, but I respect the take. Okay, I have two to round it off here. So I'm going to go with everyone's favorite droid, R2-D2.
Okay.
I think he adds a lot more than most people think. I think if you take R2-D2 out of these movies, they don't work nearly as well. It's an interesting thought process there. And my number five final pick, I'm torn between a couple here, but I think I have to circle back to the clones and take Fives. I think that his arcs in Clone Wars, where he finds out about the inhibitor chips, he's awesome in the Umbara arc. I love everything they do with him in that show, and I think he has to round out my team.
Well, my fifth and final pick, I'm glad I got him on my squad because he's the only guy that convinced George Lucas to break his lightsaber rules. Mace Windu, purple lightsaber, super OP, not just in live action, but that like 2003 Clone Wars animated movie. He is a fucking badass. So Mace Windu in my top five.
Very nice. Honorable mentions. I did want to take Chewie at some point. Didn't get him. Lando too. Plo Koon, I think, is awesome in Clone Wars. He does so much in that show. And I think that's about it. I think we did pretty good here.
Would you take Ezra?
I am hesitant to take Ezra simply because I have not seen him in the Ahsoka show.
Okay. I haven't seen that either.
So. Yeah. But
are you going to revisit that?
Ahsoka the show?
Yeah. I mean, it's Fuck Rebels.
No. Okay. If they made it animated, I absolutely would have. That should be an animated series. Also, Ezra as a character, I think, is the one character in Star Wars that I identify with most through his entire progression in Rebels.
So self-hate here, now putting him in your five.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, villains draft. You get the first pick. Go ahead.
Darth Maul.
Okay. I figured it was coming, and I will gladly take Darth Vader at the number two.
You can have him. You can have him.
My second pick is tough. And maybe this is a little bit too offbeat, but I'm circling back to Rebels love. Give me Grand Admiral Thrawn.
It's a great pick. That is a great pick.
Thank you.
Thrawn wasn't even on my board. Damn it. It's a really good pick. All right, at my two spot, I'm going to take a standard pick, kind of like a Qui-Gon, misunderstood character. I wish we got him fleshed out more. We do in Tales of the Jedi. Give me Count Dooku. I love Count Dooku.
Very nice.
At the turn, a TIE favorite that probably isn't even on your board. I just think this character is a badass. Asajj Ventress.
She was on my board. I think she's awesome. The stuff, like the team up with Ahsoka is super cool with her. I like that a lot. Have I ever told you about AJ choking me over the Star Wars skateboard?
No.
Oh my god. Okay, this is a great story. I'll save it for after the draft. My number three, I have to take Emperor Palpatine. I just have to. It's the right pick there. But my number four, I'm getting back a little silly. Going with my favorite villain from the Clone Wars, outside of Darth Maul, of course, Pong Krell from the Umbara arc. Yes.
He was a booger.
He was so cool. Like, the way that you see, like, the clone hatred and the way that whole, like, plot unravels, I think it's awesome. It's one of my favorite moments in the show.
Fair enough. I can't argue with that. All right, so I get two picks here. Yeah, this is four and five. Oh boy, I'm trying to see what I can steal. I'm gonna go Grievous at four. I'll never forget the four lightsabers come out in Revenge of the Sith, and he's kind of a menace in the O3 Clone Wars too. It's basically like shot like a horror movie. His scenes, it's really great. At my five spot, okay. I was asking about someone in the Heroes draft, and I didn't want to ask about anti-heroes. I want Boba Fett as my five spot.
Cool.
You gonna take Jango?
I never really understood the love.
What? Really?
I just feel like he's in so little. Like, in the original trilogy, we see Boba Fett as, like, half a second, maybe, in Empire Strikes Back, when he gets sent out to take care of business. And then the next scene, we see him, and he fucking dies. Like, he's...
Yeah, but he's always been, like, that badass villain with aura. And then he comes back to Mando and just tears shit up in season two. I'm all for it.
My number five, you put me in an interesting situation here because there are a lot of people I still like on the board. I have gone to deep cuts because I think that the best villains in Star Wars are not just in the movies. I do want to give an honorable mention to Grand Moff Tarkin. I think he is absolutely phenomenal. I think he's so scary. And shout out to director Krennic too. He's pretty awesome. But I'm going with Darth Bane here. The inventor of the rule of two. It's pretty cool.
And that's Clone Wars?
He is pretty much just Legends. He does appear in one of the lost episodes of Clone Wars, and you get to learn a little bit more about the rule of two, only master and apprentice. But he is just so cool, dude. He's so cool. You should look into him a little more. I think it might reignite your love for Star Wars.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So speaking of love, trying to like re-spark my love for Star Wars, what, if anything, could save Star Wars right now?
I think there's one single thing that could save it, and I think that it could never, ever happen in the hands of Disney. I think 30 years of nothing would save Star Wars.
I have a similar answer. Just let it die. Just put it to bed. Or, and this will never happen either, you give it back to George.
That would be cool. But
it would get people in the seats, that's for sure.
It would, but even if they do give it back to George, the fans are still going to hate it. I think that you need to let culture run its course on the sequels for even longer than it did on the prequels. I think you need to give it a lot of time. But I don't know. I would go to a George movie, so maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you're right.
No, to your point, though, it needs to be a while, or like in 30 years from now, like that's the big marketing thing is like, look, these were the three scripts for George's sequels. We're going to make them now. And we finally get them all this time later after we've forgiven them for the sequels and Disney Plus TV show debacles. And we just run it back.
God, it'd be so cool. Okay, I have to tell this AJ story real quick. So back when McDonald's, there was a promo during like the first season of Clone Wars where McDonald's was giving out like little tech deck skateboards with Star Wars characters on the bottom. Mm-hmm. And I got like one Happy Meal during the promo because, you know, you shouldn't have McDonald's too much as a kid. AJ also got one skateboard from this promo. Problem was, mine was your third pick, Asajj Ventress. AJ's was Yoda. And goddamn, did I want Yoda. So basically, I talked AJ into the deal of a lifetime. If he could beat me in a quote-unquote jinx off, where we would just say jinx, double jinx, triple jinx, all the way up until one of us got it faster, best of seven series, then he could take my skateboard. But if I beat him, I could take his. I won, and he choked me out on the floor of his living room. And then I ran home, and he like ran outside to my mom crying. He was like, I'm so sorry. I got carried away. But one of my favorite AJ stories. It really built our friendship.
It's really on brand for that guy. Did he send you a voice memo after?
I wish. Yeah, over his DS at the time. I don't. We were nice. So young, but very funny, funny day as I remember it now. It was obviously less funny at the time. Thank you all for listening to this episode of The Last Podcast centered around Star Wars. I'm sure this is not the last. We love Star Wars so much. Obviously, Ty doesn't anymore, but I'm not afraid to say that I still love Star Wars and I love talking about Star Wars. So this is the first of many, I'm sure. Go download the Blast app if you haven't already. You can search Blast Movie app on the App Store or go to our website, www.blastmovies.net. Also check out our YouTube. Our YouTube channel is linked in the description of this podcast. And check out our TikTok at blast.movies, our Instagram at blast_movies_, and go show some love on the socials. We really appreciate the support we've been getting over there. Steady growth, which is pretty cool to see. So thank you all for listening, and we will catch you next week.